Go right ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's Monday, June 19th, and this is the regular town council meeting for the town of Curry Beach. John, do you have an invocation for us, please?
Okay. Please join me in prayer. Oh God, we come before you with gratitude. We thank you for being a God of love who is with us now in this very room. I thank you tonight, God, for these your servants, our mayor, the town staff, and our town council members. I give thanks for the way of service that they have chosen to take up on behalf of all of those that live here. We all come to this room tonight as complex human beings, carrying burdens, carrying joy and hope, trusting that you alone can hold us together in your love and peace. Help us, Lord, to trust you more than our fears and our wounds and even our accomplishments. May we lean on your everlasting arms tonight. We pray for wisdom, for strength, for courage to do what is right and good for all the citizens. May we put the interest of others above our own. May we act with love for the common good, and may we be good neighbors, recognizing your image in every person here. We thank you again for this council, the mayor and the staff, their first responders, and all those who work to make this place we call home such a wonderful town. Amen.
Amen. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, gentlemen, would you please review the consent agenda items and advise if there are any deletions?
Mr. Mayor, I'll make a motion that we adopt the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, moving on to the adoption of the agenda. Gentlemen, if you look at the agenda and note any deletions or inclusions.
But Mayor, was there something you wanted to add?
Actually, there is. I believe we were going to add it on to one of the other.
Is that what David?
What's that?
Is that what David?
No, no, that's not. It's not that. It's
Wouldn't it, is it the item for under finance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Wouldn't it just be under finance?
That's what, yeah, it was so going to be in the new old business area, but I thought that's the item under.
Classification study, okay.
Yes. So let me go ahead and
get
to that.
Make a motion we add the classification study.
Approval
to old business number, I guess.
Yeah.
One, under old business.
Yeah.
I don't know the numbering system anymore.
It's 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other inclusions? Deletions? If not, I'll accept the motion with that inclusion.
Make a motion we approve the agenda with the addition of the classification study under old business.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right, moving on to public comment. Do we have any public comments, Beth?
No, sir, we do not.
Okay, no public comments this evening. Moving on to presentations. First presentation this evening is three-wheel therapy. Yes, please come over here, introduce yourself, and let us know what's on your mind.
So three-wheel therapy provides a free ride on an adaptive trike to individuals who are unable to ride a traditional bicycle. So you can see the picture of the trike there. Go ahead and scroll through. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We have a board of directors that have currently 7 members. Most are remote, but there's a few on the island as well. And we are sustainable through grants, donations, and sponsorship. We provide rides in New Hanover County, Pender County, Brunswick County. We had our first ride on Saturday on Island Green Mike. Our bike is stored at the Mike Chapel Park. The storage shed's there, and so Island Greenway is a great place for us to ride. And we primarily serve individuals with disabilities, aging adults, anyone who can't ride their traditional bicycle. So we're partnering with nursing homes, long-term care, group homes, individuals as well. A little bit about the trike, you can see a picture there. It is electric, but it is pedal assist, so it will not go without the pedals, without the legwork, but also is very difficult to pedal without the electric piece. There are 2 batteries on there. The trike is manufactured in the Netherlands and then purchased from a dealer in Rhode Island. It's a really cool piece of equipment. It's a very expensive piece of equipment. As you can see from the picture, there is a front seat that looks like a wheelchair, and it does detach from the trike completely. So we would be able to wheel it into a nursing home or group home and be able to transport an individual into the seat and then out to the parking lot or to the trail. So it does have those 2 components, and again, is battery operated, so helps support individuals that way. And you can go ahead. Again, as I mentioned, we are riding with individuals with disabilities, poor or low mobility, or poor coordination. Anyone who can't ride a traditional bicycle, so even if it's just fear, it's a great place for someone to sit in the front seat. A lot of our volunteers were able to ride in the front seat just to see what it feels like. So you definitely don't have to have a disability to ride, but so it's a comfortable ride for anyone, but we just want to provide accessibility to the experience. And some of our ride partners currently, we have some rides scheduled with the Access of Wilmington. We're going to be at the Buddy Rock with Coastal Buds and have partnered with them, as well as doing some rides with Elder House. But we also ride individuals. Our first ride, like I said, was Saturday, and we had an individual who's connected to Coastal Buds, but we are open to other partners as well. Just to kind of show you what a ride would look like, the rider's in the front seat, of course, helmets for safety, and our pilot is the person who's pedaling the trike. We also have a side rider or a safety rider we call our co-pilot, and that person really navigates the ride on the trail. As you know, the Island Greenway has many intersections to cross, so really that's helpful for us to have our co-pilot in the intersection to be able to cross safely. Also, if there were any dangers on the trail or if the rider or the pilot needed assistance. Again, we're riding on the Island Greenway, so it's 2.4 miles total. The kiddo that we had on Saturday just kept saying more and more, so we did 5.5 miles. We did the trail twice, and then we went ahead and rode through the neighborhood a little bit, which was a little bit more bumpy, and every time we went over the bumps, he giggled, so we did the bumps a couple times just because he really enjoyed that. So we can definitely bring the trike elsewhere, but right now, again, the easiest place is to ride on the Island Greenway. It's a beautiful trail. It's nice and shaded, and there's a lot of exposure, and we saw a lot of dog walkers, and our kiddo was waving to all the dogs. We do have a weight limit for the bike, for the trike, the volunteer, as well as the rider. Either one could not exceed 225 pounds. That's just a manufacturer recommendation. And then in order to ride, individuals can sign up on our website, and then we coordinate a ride time with the parent, guardian, or staff, as well as our volunteers. Currently, we're riding June through November. This is our very first season. We started last year and got 501c3 status, so we're starting a little bit later just because we needed to get the volunteers up and running and, of course, funding. But next year, we can definitely start earlier since the weather has been good. We plan to ride this year through the beginning of November so that it's a comfortable experience. Yeah, that's a little, you guys know what the Island Greenway looks like. it's a beautiful place to ride. Again, our volunteers provide the legwork, so we can't get the trike moving without those legs. So the pilot is, again, the person who's riding the trike, and our co-pilot is our safety. Currently, we have volunteers that either are from the bicycling community or just have a passion for working with individuals with disabilities, either through their job or volunteer experience. We do ask that our volunteers are at least 21 years old. That's just part of our liability insurance piece of it, as well as the weight requirement, and then they do participate in a volunteer training. Right now, we're asking them to commit to multiple shifts, but we're scheduling a few shifts every month. We intend to ride 2 to 3 times a week if we can fill all those spots, but right now we have just a handful every month that are scheduled. There's a slide on how to support through remote therapy. You can keep scrolling there too. Our fundraising goal for the first year is $25,000. The trike itself costs $14,000, and that includes all the accessories and harness and shipping. Again, it came from Rhode Island, so a big chunk of that is the trike. But as you can see on the next slide, of course, as also marketing, insurance, things like that, our website. We have no paid employees, we're all volunteer. So all of the donations that we're getting right now, as well as grants, are going to the operations of the organization. Different ways to donate, and then also we are on Facebook and Instagram right now. Hopefully some other platforms as soon as we get some video up and rolling. So I suggest, if you can, go ahead and go check out those pages so you can see photo and video of what we're doing. Our website as well, and then my email's on that last slide. All right, any questions?
Nicole.
Yes.
Do we use the three-wheel therapy at Gmail to volunteer to be a pilot?
Yeah, absolutely. You could email me directly, or there is also a volunteer with us link on the website, and you can just fill out a form and it comes to my email, so that's another way to sign up.
Have you presented this pitch to the Cape Fear Cyclist?
I have not, but I have been in contact with them, and they connected me to the Terry Benji Foundation, which we just received a grant today from them. Yes, thank you.
Great service.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good service.
Thank you.
Yes.
We hope the trail continues to extend so we can ride
So was this an original idea, or is this something else that was being done in other...
No, sir. Great question. So I'm from Illinois. I've lived here 2 years. The organization that I work for, I've worked in City Parks and Recreation in Illinois, and a lot of the participants that I worked with were able to ride the bike or volunteer with an organization there called Healing Rides. And so when I moved here, I was like, I want to get involved in something like Healing Rides, and found out there isn't anything, at least nothing that I could find here, but I did find there are at least 7 other organizations that do what we do. So I went to them and did a lot of research, met with their board, learned what's the best piece of equipment, where to get started, what kind of insurance do you need, all of the bones of the organization. So there's some organizations that have been around a few years, some have been around 8 years. Portland Wheelers is an organization in Portland, Maine that has been a really great mentor for me. And I did their training up in Maine a couple weeks ago and was able to see their trikes and things like that. So they're all different sizes. Most of them use the trike that we have. Most of them have upgraded to the trike that we have or have a fleet of a different types of trikes depending on their storage and transportation.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're just modeling after others, but we hope it continues to expand.
All right. Any other questions?
No, sir.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And I have some handouts in my business cards.
Okay, that'll
thank
work.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we do have another presentation from Ms. Ann Taylor from the Piedmont Triad Regional Council. It's about the employee pay study. And thank you, Ann.
Thank you. Like you said, my name is Ann Taylor, and I'm with the Piedmont Triad Regional Council out of Connersville. We did this in conjunction with the Cape Fear Regional Council in Wilmington. Can I aim it here? Or here?
We don't have to aim it.
Oh, okay. So we started in February and have all of the information ready to come back, and I think your finance has reviewed it. And so this is kind of what the process was like. Why does a city or town or a county do a study like this? It's kind of like taking your car in for a checkup. Is it running well? Can it be improved? Do we need new tires? So we talk about if your pay structure is suitable. Do you have enough grades? Do you have a wide enough range? Are you competitive with your market, your local market? What is available in your local market to hire in your workforce? How difficult or easy is it to fill vacancies? So first thing we look at is external equity, And that's where we got information from the local market to compare with their pay plan, and then internal equity. And that's where we look at positions that have a variety of different education experience requirements and experience requirements to make sure that it's internally equitable. So what we give back is information regarding most current comparative ratios at minimums and at actual pay, and to compare it to what the town is currently paying. A detailed allocation report that would tell you how it would impact each of your employees if you adopt a new pay plan or our recommendations. And then we talk about ways to avoid compression. So the process, we came, well, we didn't come. We do everything virtual now. So we did a focus meeting or a group meeting with department heads back in February and asked them to get their employees to complete a form we call a PDQ, a position description questionnaire. And we ask people to tell us why the position exists, to break out the percentages of time they spend doing administrative duties, operations, or different kinds of things. And then we held interviews with employees to represent those different job classes. We asked them questions to determine how much they do, do they really understand what they wrote, is everything accurate. The supervisor also does a page that verifies that what the employee wrote is correct. Can everybody hear me? My voice doesn't go. And then job classifications were reviewed. We use an 8-factor benchmarking system of classification review. We look at the variety of complexity, whether they supervise or not, does it require a degree, does it not, how many years of experience, license, certifications, all of those things are that are required in order to perform those tasks. So data was gathered directly from other municipalities. We have a technician, and she will start again after July payrolls to get new pay plans, new census, all the changes after all the budgets go in July 1. So she's doing that. And in the last few years, we found that it's kind of different than years before. You could put a pay plan in July 1, and it was good to June 30th. We see a lot of municipalities going back January 1, April 1, October 1, different dates because they find they have to keep up because the competition for employees is pretty great. So we got all of this. They sent us their pay plans, their minimum or higher rates, their actual pay. We calculated what is the average for different job classifications. Then we analyze that by comparing Curie Beach's actual pay and pay plan to the market data. This is very interesting. Remember back in 2008, we had a recession. People were getting laid off, foreclosures on their homes, businesses were closing. And then as it progressed around 2012-13, it started to level out, and we were doing pretty good until COVID. After COVID and what we're seeing now, this green line is jobs, this purple line is people who are applying for jobs. We have more vacancies than we have people who are interested in applying for those jobs. That's why I don't know what your situation is here. Where I live, we have restaurants that have limited their hours because they don't have enough staff. Or they only have their dining rooms open certain times. Or you'll see a sign, drive-through only. So there's a lot of places looking for the same folks. These numbers are just some of the statistics or the data. This is percentages. This is not salaries or dollars. What this blue line is for your crew supervisor, his starting pay is 96.1% of the average of all the others in the market. We're recommending to move to 103.34% of the market as a starting point. We never want to put anybody below 95 and usually as close to 100 as we can get. But we're anticipating that July 1, this is data that is current today. After July 1, this will again be old data because everybody's doing what you're doing right now and looking at their pay plans. Your code enforcement officer, her starting pay is 95 to 101. Your patrol officers, who are very, very difficult to hire, only at 93% of the market average. And 108 on those because just in the last 2 weeks, Guilford County has increased theirs, Winston-Salem has increased theirs, Lee County has increased theirs, and Rocky Mount, 60,000. So it's a very, very competitive market to hire qualified individuals in law enforcement. Your firefighter, Your very entry-level firefighter was only at 90% of the market. Move that one up too. And these, both of these positions are those that require constant training, renewals, physical conditioning. And any position now that requires someone to be in extreme heat, extreme cold, or is physically manly is difficult to recruit. And Jeannie has a lot of those, don't you? Yeah. Public Works Director, his starting pay at 90.06. We think it should move to at least 100% of the market. 85 on your fire chief, up to 100% of the market. And this is just comparing with cities and towns in this market area. And these are a few of the others: your code enforcement officer, the personnel and facility service coordinator that works here in the office, your billing and revenue collection, sends out all those water bills, listens to people's complaints, takes care of that, administrative assistant over in the fire department, and your Ms. Bellward. I always see it the night of the show when I'm showing it to somebody, developmental. I used to do a lot of training for the state, and I would always take maybe a packet of M&Ms or something, and then when I'd have a misspelled word, I'd say, oh, you found it, here's your prize. So I did it on purpose. I'm a terrible proofreader. So this is the pay scale. We're recommending a pay scale with a 60% from the minimum to the max, with 5% between each grade. In the past, you've had a broad range or a broad band. So this way, if I'm a maintenance worker one and I'm going to get promoted to a two, I know my salary is not going to be any less than the next grade. The same thing with your technician, your utility technician, your code enforcement. And this kind of gives you an example. The code enforcement position right now is at 42,449. The market, we're putting her closer to the market and increasing that minimum by 5.1%. So it's a very consistent kind of thing. It goes all the way through up to about rate 25, 26 points. So if you, the board, adopts our recommended pay plan, at minimum it will take you from an overall average of 91.07% to 102. And that's good until June 30th at least, until everybody else changes theirs. So of course with the board, you always have the option of considering. I'm going to show you what we think some of the changes will be. And it does mean that every employee does have to be paid at least the minimum of their new range. And to avoid compression, what compression is when you bring up the minimums, but you don't increase everybody else, and you have people that just came to work and somebody that's been here 2, 3, 4, 5 years making the same. It makes employees feel very undervalued. So what we recommend is to do something to avoid compression. So when you move the minimums, you have to move everybody else up, something to keep from being compressed. I did provide a couple of conservative options, and I did that because often if I take a full implementation, they go, oh, we can't do that. So I gave them a couple of conservative options that they can use then based on what funding is available to do what they feel is best. Right now, our reports indicate that the anticipated average of salary increases for local governments nationally will be about 4.7%. North Carolina League of Municipalities is anticipating adjustments between 5 to 6.4. Okay, thank you very much. I hope that if any of you have any questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them.
Gentlemen, you have any questions for Ann?
No, sir.
No?
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you, Ann. We know you have a ride home, I guess.
Well, yeah, if y'all stay a few days and spend some money here in Korea.
It's
yeah.
Raining tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I get out this
way? Okay, the next item on our agenda is the legislative hearing. So, bear with me while I read through this. The purpose of the meeting is to receive comments on the proposed text amendments to the following sections of the Curry Beach Code. Chapter 15, Zoning Regulations. 15.02.01, definitions, 15.02.03, short title. 15.02.04, purpose and authority. 15.02.5, interpretation, purpose and conflict. 15.02.06, effects on rights and liabilities under existing zoning ordinances. 15.08.075, reserved. 15.08.08, quasi-judicial discussions. 15.08.09, site plan requirements. 15.10.02, permitted issues. 15.14.02, permitted issues. 15.8.02, permitted issues. 15.2.02, permitted issues. 15.28.02, permitted issues. Uses, excuse me, permitted uses, not issues. My mistake. 15.3.02, permitted uses. 15.3.03, required buffers. 15.32.02, permitted uses. 15.34.02, permitted uses. 15.36.03, prerequisite for construction, demolition, remodeling, and impervious surfaces, etc. 15.36.16, height exception requirements. 15.36.19, combination of required parking space. 15.36.24, solar energy equipment. 15.38.02, continuance of non-conforming situation. 15.4.02, definitions. 15.4.03, application of regulations. 15.4.04, exceptions. 15.4.06, prohibited signs. Notice of the hearing was posted on the town website and bulletin board on May 18, 2023, and in the Star News on May 31, 2023, and June 7, 2023, meeting notice requirements. Therefore, we will open the hearing for any public comments.
So I'm sure everyone read the 44 pages, and you guys are all good. Looks like.
It's quite a word salad there. Well, let me put it to you this way. Did anybody have any comments or things they would like to say? If not, we're going to close this. Are we good? Everybody in the audience is good?
Well, just one for the comment then.
Yes.
On page 28, Beth, did you make your link so you can take that out? If you look at page 28. Okay.
Can you pull up 28?
Yeah, can you pull up 28, Mandy? It was just left in as guidance that you didn't link it for the wind energy.
We didn't know that, yes.
Yeah, okay. I have no other questions, Mr. Mayor.
Well, I can't read you.
Here you go.
Yeah.
It was just a administrative thing.
Yep.
Mr. Mayor, make a motion to close the public legislative hearing.
I'll second.
All in favor of closing legislative hearing? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Moving on without challenges. Committee business. Bike Ped Advisory Committee. Anything to add, Mo?
This month has been May, June so far has been really crazy, busy, and fun for us. We've had our traffic here in May 20th. And we just want to thank the Island Men, the Island Women, the Shorebreak Bikes, Career Adventure Bicycling Foundation, Caper Cyclists, and WMPO, and the many volunteers that came to help. The Blue Liners from the Carolina Beach Police Department did ask who the check could be written to, so I think that they will be sending us some money to help with the cost on that. The weather and timing was not great, so we didn't have quite the impact that we had hoped for, but the kids that showed up did get high quality safety information, and we got great comments from the parents afterwards, so we're real happy with it. Our Tuesday markets, we did the first one June 13th, and it was a lot of fun. We'll do one on July 11th and August 8th. The Tour de Blueberry was this last Saturday, and Commissioner Ellen and his friend Jonathan both rode 66 miles. So, fabulous. And Eileen and Kelly Kluth both rode 30-something anyways. Our team logged over around 200 miles. In front of you, you'll see a map that we have been working on with the town of Curry Beach, the actually their bike ped committee. And it shows for visitors and people that don't know how to get from point A to point B, how to wiggle through the neighborhoods and the residents so they can safely get off of Fort Fisher, safely get off Lake Park Boulevard. And the only thing we have to add on our side is we asked Lily, the new intern, to make a QR code for us so people could actually just put the QR code on their phone and we don't have to print as many paper maps. We will print some, maybe 3,000 or something like that, and put those in rentals or get them out to the visitors. But I wanted you to all look at that and make sure everything looked good. Yes.
I'm just looking, so on both sides of the map, you left off the bike path on Dow Road.
What bike path on Dow Road?
On both sides of that road, there's an identified
bike. Those are bike lanes.
Oh, sorry, okay, bike lanes.
Yeah, so
okay.
it doesn't have bike lanes. This is
okay.
Really to get people off of the main thoroughfares.
Okay, I'm just interested.
Yeah, the QR code, Lily will help us with that. And then as you can see, we are promoting Be Seen, Be Safe. So this is what we're giving out at the Tuesday markets. And we're having t-shirts made that are this high visibility fabric that the Bike Ped Committee will be wearing around town. And we're just really encouraging people, especially at dusk and in the evening, it's really hard to see people, and I'm sure you've been driving on Fort Fisher or Lake Park Boulevard, and visitors just don't even think about it. They're wearing black and they're walking in the bike lanes and can barely be seen. So that's what we're pushing for this year. We were able to order Sam's Trip to the Beach, which is a great kids book, which is a book about distracted driving, but it comes from the viewpoint of the child sitting in the back seat while the parent is texting or using their phone and driving. So the kid is telling the parent, I don't feel safe while you're doing that while we're driving. And we got some money donated from the Island Women to buy those books. So they're on order. I'm hoping they come in before June 30th and we can get it in this year's budget. Then I did go to the WMPO meeting, and that meeting, the presentation really was all about complete streets, which in North Carolina, complete streets is the program that wants NCDOT roads to be inclusive and accessible for all travelers. And that includes pedestrians, and includes people on bicycles. So because we have Fort Fisher, which is an NCDOT, and the idea of how we treat that street, it has to be forthright in our minds to provide safety for all travelers. And because of that, I wanted to bring up a letter that came to us, and I'm going to read it. Hi Mo, I've had a number of residents ask me about the much needed signage at the M Avenue and Fort Fisher Boulevard crosswalk. There are a number of issues here that I have personally witnessed and experienced since I live on M. M and Fort Fisher is a heavily crossed intersection with many beachwalk residents coming down M Avenue to get to the beach. And many have small children, are carrying a lot of beach paraphernalia. Many are also older adults Both groups need extra time crossing. Two, one of the residents who crosses at M Avenue in Fort Fisher is a man who uses a power wheelchair and uses the boardwalk on a daily basis to get to the beach and K Avenue. Another resident who uses M Avenue to cross Fort Fisher is an older one who uses a cane. This intersection is also used regularly by residents and visitors walking to the post office. Traffic on Fort Fisher is heavy this time of year, and many visitors who do not obey the speed limit nor the crosswalk make the M Avenue intersection extremely unsafe. Since the flashing crosswalk signal, according to Allen, is not slated to be installed till after the season, it seems imperative to have some kind of extra signage at this intersection. We would like to see at least a sign such as the one below placed at the intersection as soon as possible until the flashing signal is installed. And the sign that's shown is the North Carolina state law to stop for pedestrians in a crosswalk, like we have in two locations, I think, that we put those up, Jimmy, yeah. According to DOT, this type of sign is allowed at four-way intersections and are located at other intersections along Fort Fisher Boulevard and Lake Park Boulevard. I feel strongly that this request should come from the Bike Pet Committee, so please take this request to the next town council meeting when you present the committee's report. Thank you so much. So when I was at my MPO meeting, I asked Adrian Cox of NCDOT about placing more signs in the crosswalks before our lighted signs go up, because I didn't know about the encroachment or anything like that. And then she forwarded over to Jesse Leonard, and she said there's currently a crosswalk on US 421 at M Avenue. I see they mentioned the forthcoming town project to install flashers at this location. We are also open to the in-pavement signs being installed that they mentioned. However, these are items the town would have to install and maintain under an encroachment agreement. Let me know if you need any more information. Thank you, Jesse Leonard.
Okay. Do we have an encroachment agreement with
No, no, we don't. And we didn't budget anything other than the money that came from Representative Miller and Senator Lee, and we're waiting on the engineers to come up with a plan for those. But we didn't budget any improvement money for those crosswalks since we had the state fund.
Can we at least ask how much it is? I mean, I can't imagine it's that expensive, right?
What were those
Jimmy
last
just
signs?
Ordered some. How much
what were those last signs, Jimmy? About $1,200 bucks?
Yeah.
Four of them about.
Well, so we have two left.
Yes.
We got spares left. Yeah.
Yes, we have two left.
So it's more getting the encroachment agreement from DOT.
Yeah,
it's
more getting the encroachment agreement completed.
So we need an encroachment agreement to put one of those stand-up signs in the middle of the road at M.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, then we should go look at that. Thank you, Mo.
Mo, I have a couple.
Yes.
Sorry, didn't know you were finished. First, thank you for the acknowledgement. But my buddy Jonathan, I want to say that he completed that 66 miles, and he's not much younger than me, at over 21 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
He left me in the dust. but it was a fun day. The next thing is, I just spent 2 weeks in Europe, and the country of France is all about bicycles and scooters, big time, in the cities that I was in. But I did find out that they have a law that says no one under 18 may use electric assist, either scooters or bikes. And I think, that some of your committee is going to maybe in Raleigh at a
Bike Walk NC will be in September.
Okay. I would like for you to take that idea to that organization and see if the state is looking into something like that to be a state law regarding age on electric
That's interesting. Actually, last year at the Bike Walk NC, there was a presentation that was a video presentation, and it was the mayor of Paris, because their bicycle program there is so advanced, you know, according to what we have here. So I will ask about that.
But Paris is, I mean, they do have a law on the books. I don't know that everybody abides by it. A lot of laws are broken. But I personally feel that there should be some age limit for using an electric, because those scooters will do 30 miles an hour down a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a 10 or a 12-year-old is certainly capable of managing the balance, but I don't know that they're got it up here to dodge out of the way.
I'm sure this is going to be a something that's going to be a great discussion in our state. Even at our Tuesday market last week, the first person that came to our booth said how they hated electric bikes. The like 10th person that came to our booth came on her electric bike and said how much she loved her electric bike. So it's going to be a big conversation in our state.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom. Community Center Committee did not meet this month. Historical Preservation Commission, anything?
We did not meet either way.
All right. So next would be the Marketing Committee.
How's it going?
Good, Mark. How are you?
Good. I have two things on the agenda tonight. One of them is budget recommendation. So I'd like to go through that process first before I do this presentation.
Okay. All right.
So the KB Marketing Advisory Committee has submitted the marketing budget for fiscal year 23-24 and recommends that the council approve it. The CVB developed and presented marketing objectives and strategies, media recommendations, PR and social recommendations, creative campaign examples, as well as a sneak peek of their mobile trip guide to the KB Mac in association with this budget. The KB Mac was very engaged in these meetings, offering feedback and asking a lot of questions to better understand and assess the budget and the plan for marketing KB across a wide range of channels. A few highlights about the budget. The overall budget was reduced 8.36%. You guys should have this in front of you and have looked at it, I'm sure. I'm just pointing out it. So the overall budget was reduced 8.36% from the previous year. Other highlights are the media spend. KB dedicated media spend increased 15%. The unified media spend contribution increased 3.2%. But overall, they were seeing a 7.2% increase in that budget for the media spend, which is nice because that means more of it is landing on the dedicated side versus the unified side. So mm-hmm. using those dollars to market more specifically the KB area for pay ads in this area. And also, given my experience, you know, this is reasonable based on the increases we're seeing in paid advertising anyway. So I think that is perfectly reasonable. PR social media, the CVB moved some of their work in-house by hiring a social media manager, which I thought was good, allowing the budget to be shifted to some more automation tools that are being out in the market. And it'll help with monitoring and reporting and for scheduling some of the social media that goes out to market the tenant. Definitely a better use of the budget to do that.
Okay.
There is a reduction in agency creative development fees since we will be utilizing ad campaigns and creative that was part of the previous year budget. So we're getting help from all the work we did last year to keep the budget down this year. Online management fees increased slightly, primarily due to the purchase of tools required to support ADA compliance guidelines and improved content delivery from their CMS. Now, the ADA compliance is something, in my business, is something I've seen a lot of. I mean, we got to do that. And so they've invested in some tools to help protect, and that's part of the budget now.
Okay.
Image and video budget was obviously reduced significantly because of the same reason. That we reduced the agency creative, and the contingency budget for fiscal year 22-23 was higher than usual due to COVID, and so contingency has been reduced by 60%, shifting more of the funds back to cover those increases I talked about earlier. Overall, I believe the CBB has worked very hard and collaboratively with us, much more so than any other time that I've been involved with the committee. It was a pleasant experience to talk through all these items in a lot more detail. And, you know, to lay out a marketing strategy and budget that makes the best use of these funds at this time, in my opinion. So we recommend that you approve that budget. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to take them and try to answer them as best I can.
Okay. Actually, Sean had told me about the interaction of the committee, and there were good questions, good interaction, and she was very interested in the path you're taking.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, good. Okay. So, I'm glad that, at least from your evaluation on the budget with your experience, it looks reasonable.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So we need a motion to approve that, or does it go to...
No, sir.
The town get to comment on it first?
No, we got.
No, I don't believe we do. No. Because they manage that portion of the budget.
Right. Okay. So make a motion we approve as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have that little clicker?
62 pages.
Mm-hmm. So, I've been with this committee for a couple of years now, and I felt like it was a good time for me to talk about the committee and what we do. So this is a presentation. It's a little long. I apologize. I want to go home and watch my Deacons play College World Series tonight, so I'm going to try to hustle through it. But it's an overview, but it's also, I want you guys to think about a new approach, okay? Not mandating anything. It's just thought-provoking, I believe. I'm going to walk through the mission, what we do, our committee, who we are, the big picture, you know, where are we right now, the approach, you know, is it time to adjust, the game plan, how do we change if we do decide to adjust, and what are the next steps, what do we do? With respect to what we do, you know, you guys know this. We advise the town of Kira Beach and Wilmington Cape Fear Coast CDB about promoting travel and tourism in Kira Beach. We provide input to the CDB's effort to utilize the promotion and marketing portions of the second 3% of the room occupancy tax. We work with and advise the town of Kira Beach and other marketing endeavors as needed. Requested further requests we had earlier this year, in the last year, to extend that a little bit so that if we were needed for marketing or any advice outside of the tourism, we're here to promote that. A little bit about our team. This is a big slide, but I'm not going to try to keep it quick. This is a powerful team that you got here on this committee. We got Steve, who's here tonight. He's president of Go Automotive, chair emeritus for the Pleasure Island Chamber of Passion. He's passionate about the Kite Festival, as you guys know, and building relationships in the community. Dave Russell is the communications manager at the North Carolina Aquarium, very passionate about sustainability. We've got Bill Mahan with 40 years of marketing communication, former VP of strategic communications at Penn State University, very passionate about the arts and the film industry. Christine Avery, who's got 8+ years serving on this same KBMAC, bringing history and long-term experience to our committee. Pam Dixon just joined recently as a regional sales executive, former owner of a marketing services company. Very passionate about the arts because she's actually a local artist herself. Dr. Tim Markley, you guys may know him, educator and writer, currently as a student defense manager within a law firm, but also former superintendent for North New Hanover County and Cobb County Schools. And then me, last on the list, I've got about 40 years of experience in information technology, and for the last 25 years of my company in technologies. My passion is in data analytics, which you can see as we move forward. So I'm apologizing in advance.
Just a comment. We are blessed at the people we have in our committees. Kira Beach is a interesting group of people.
Yeah, and I got to say, this group is extremely passionate. I mean, it's tough for me to keep everybody like going out.
Herding the cats.
I think Steve would attest to that. So it's a good group and very, they want to make change.
Okay.
So let's talk about the big picture here. I think everybody knows this. We have the 6% room occupancy tax distribution. The funds must be used for government legislation, we know that. We have the 1% distribution that goes over to the county and split 40-60 between that and beach renourishment. We have the second 3% distribution that goes where it's split halfway between activities and, is that true?
No. Yeah, it's true.
No. Mm-hmm. You shook your head like no.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I don't like how it is, but yeah. So, I agree that's the legislation.
This is where we are right now.
That's right.
That's
exactly
what the state
right.
says we
it
go.
It was more comment on the legislation, not what you're saying. You're exactly right.
So 50% pro. So this piece right here, this is what the KB Mac focuses on, this little piece of this big pie here. But it's the way it is, it's the way it's been legislated. The interesting thing about this that I wanted to share is I went back and collected all the data since 2004. About $15 million has flowed in from this occupancy tax, divided evenly between the first and second percent. And basically has brought in $3.7 million, $3.75 million split evenly for the town of Curry Beach with activities of promo tourism. Last year, about $1 million, $500,000 on each side of that from the estimates. We haven't finished the fiscal year yet, but that's the estimated where that's going to land. So, more importantly, if you go back and you look at time, we started back here about $200,000 in that second 3% back in 2004. It has grown astronomically. Obviously, the last 2 years, it's gone crazy. This is a trend line that I had put in here just to show you the direction this is going. 1.7 times what we had 4 years ago before COVID. So that's a good measuring point. It's tripled over the last 10 years. And when I get a 10-year projection, you're going to be looking at over $2 million. Coming in just for that second 3%. It's a lot. It's a lot of money.
Sure is.
And so part of this whole thought process is not about the legislation or anything, it's about us and you. I'm going to push it back on you guys eventually. So let's first talk about responsibilities. I went and met with Sean and I talked with her because I wanted to get to the money pot side. She's like, oh no, you can't touch that. They decide how.
Yes.
CDB, this is the best way for me to learn this. They decide how it's spent. How will the marketing budget be spent to drive tourism? They choose the strategy, they drive the strategy, the channels, the tools, the data, whatever they're going to use. Them and their third parties do that. And like I said, they're doing a good job with it. I mean, they're taking the money that they have and they're spending it. Our job is the what. And that's really the KB Mac. And you guys, the town council. What are KB Curry Beach's assets or products to promote tourism? What are they? We know what they are. We know they're in our heads. We can point to them. We can talk about them. But I'm not so sure that we've defined those. So the direction this group has been taking is let's get there. Let's figure out what our assets are, which is going to take some work at some point. Blessing, I guess, from you guys. But we want to put this on you guys, you to think about, okay? Again, I'm going to point out that we have a good working relationship with the CDB. They bring creative ideas, they bring data, and they listen to our committee. But at the end of the day, they have money to spend, and they're going to determine how it's spent. So, let's talk about Curry Beach. Found a good map to start with. I'm going to clutter it up. So here's the town of Curry Beach. We have this unique, central, quiet, small town, family-oriented, low-profile, close to everything that we love, right? We love this town because of those things. We've got this, to our east, we've got this beach and the pier and the park and the restaurants. To our west, we've got Eakes Park, which I'll talk about later because I think that is an asset in the making that we've got to spend some time on. I know Nikki's been working on that. To our north, we've got to see Carolina Beach food, nightlife, if people want that. We've got Wilmington, if they want that. We've got to our south, the aquarium, Fort Fisher, even Southport. We are in a really cool place in this town because we're right there in the middle of all this, but yet we've made it a really quiet family orientation. We need to keep that. That's what I think everybody in this room wants to keep, right? Mm-hmm. So, if I keep going, the big picture is I believe, and I think everybody on the committee believes, that for the most part, residents want the same thing as what KB tourism see. A family-oriented, quiet, small-town feel that is also uniquely and centrally located to many different things to do and see. I think we all want that. But like it or not, KB's economy depends on tourism. Since legislation prevents Curie Beach from deciding how the budget is being spent, our only real option at this point is to actively and strategically control the what, which is our brand and our marketing asset. That's really all we can do right now, unless you want to go down another path that I'm not so sure anybody wants to right now. So I came into this, what we went through this in our meeting the other day, what if? Is it time to make an adjustment here? So we came up with, what if we could approach tourism marketing more effectively or strategically aligned with the town's five-year strategy? Now, I don't know what the five-year strategy is, but I put that in there in case there was one. Develop our brand and marketable assets to support tourism while also benefiting our KB residents and partners. How can we do that? We can figure this out. I think we can. Take better active control of the KB brand and identity. We need to protect that identity, and I'll get to more points on that later. And we need to commit to a set of product areas to help accomplish all of this while protecting KB's charm and values. We need to be able to figure out a way to do this from a market perspective. We're big enough now with the amount of money coming in and the number of residents here that we should be trying to tackle this. So, KB Mac recommends, this is what we've been working on, this is why we have seven people in our committee now, is there are six product areas, asset areas. Do we build or brand around these? These are ideas. These are not stuff we're pushing on, but we want you guys to think about them. History. I talked about the pier. I talked about Fort Fisher. There's people here. There's history here that we can wrap our arms around. We put some examples in there. I'm not going to go through all the examples, or I'll never get to my baseball game. Exercise and outdoors. We've got Eakes Park. We've got the beaches. And there's a lot more that we can talk about outdoors. The bike head. There's a lot of things that will fit into a brand around that. We've got the arts. The film industry's big down here. I mean, the arts are big. They're everywhere. We can wrap our hands around that if we want. Environment. I really think this is something we should think about and talk about, the sustainability and conservation. If that is part of our brand and we want to protect wildlife here, I'm part of the Turtle Patrol and it's near and dear to my heart. If we want to do that, we should promote that. We should make that part of our brand. Food and lodging. We have hotels and restaurants. Do we want more restaurants? Do we not want more restaurants? How do we help them promote so that they're, now that we're getting more and more residents, I know the residents love to have them open more. Part of tourism is to help them stay open so that we have them, at least the residents. And events. I know the Kite Festival, 30 million, trillion people were here going in front of my house, but these are major events that if we're marketing and we're promoting and working with these and we have a plan, or maybe we limit them, there's two or three. But there's ways for us to take all of this and decide how that's going to fit into our brand. There's seven people on the committee. Each one of us has one of these assigned, so we're dividing and conquering to bring back to you guys. So it's a pretty cool concept. It's a great committee that's bought into this philosophy. So we put a lot of time into figuring out what are some things we could do. If we could do something, maybe a movie trail would be good. Maybe an event trail would be good. maybe a history trail somewhere around here that we market. So, next part, how do we change? KB Mac has identified three areas of focus. What is our market? Is our marketing strategy? You know, as I said earlier in the budget, they gave us a strategy. What is our strategy for marketing? How do we measure results? We measure results and progress because you can't manage what you don't measure. How do we communicate and coordinate the strategy with partners and residents? And the partners, obviously. I'm going to go through these quickly because I don't want to read all of these, but when we're talking about marketing strategy, we're talking about what is our product? How do we want to be viewed by the world? How do we shape and manage Haiti's tourism in the next 3 to 5 years? How do we shape it? We need to take control of that. And it's not necessarily about growth. You know, if you guys all decided, look, we only want occupancy during, this is a reach, only occupancy, and that's our measurement tool, we only want it during the summertime from May 1st to the end of August, then we should adopt that and we should market towards that. It may not mean growth all, because, you know, I've heard people say, I don't want tourism, I don't like tourism, but we all know it's a necessary evil down here to a degree. It's not an evil, but I enjoy the energy that comes in, but I'm kind of glad when it leaves too. But we got to manage that. And it's not, this is marketing, this is not about growth. So measurement. I'm going to go through these quickly. What metrics are needed to measure progress? Is it occupancy? Is it revenue? Is it parking fees? Those are all metrics that can promote, we could use to measure success if we wanted room for growth. Where and how do we obtain these metrics? Where are they going to come from? And then lastly, you can have all the data in the world, but if you don't do anything with it, it's a waste of time. So we got to make sure that we analyze it and tune and repeat it. That's what this committee wants to do. They want to take more ownership and try to help carve this out. So considerations are, what are our objectives? Is 100% occupancy year-round what we want? Because when we're pumping $2, $3 million into this, guess what? We're going to be driving towards 100. I mean, we're going to be full all the time. Is that what we want? We have to decide that. The town has to decide it. The marketing committee needs to marry that up with that. What can KB really support in terms of traffic occupancy for each season? It's another thing we should think about. Let's decide what that is, and then let's market to that. But we can't do that without metrics. And then lastly, how do we change its communication? We need to start letting people know why tourism is important to our town. Revenue, jobs, drives amenities, parks, restaurants, and the benefit of people now that live here too. That's an important part of what tourism does down here. Brand management, you know, we need a guideline for KB's image. And then the last thing is the strategic plan. We need to make sure we educate and coordinate that, educate everyone on what that is so that people don't feel like it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and we're getting overwhelmed. So to wrap things up, it's a lot to digest, right? It's a lot to digest. But I want you to keep a couple things in mind. 20 years ago, when legislation was created, marketing was way less sophisticated, and KB's marketing needs were way different. And CBB has kept pace with it. Don't take that wrong. CBB has kept great pace with that. But things were very different than they are now. Property management companies and property owners now actively market their properties with their own funds way more than they did 20 years ago. So on top of all the property management companies trying to get all of their rooms booked, we're also throwing money in there where that money wasn't, the property management company money wasn't there 20 years ago. So that's a contributing factor to occupancy and growth as well. The ROT funds are now more significant and will continue to climb. We know that. There's nothing in that line that shows it's not going to grow. And we've built a great working relationship. KB Mac does not influence how the budget is spent. We just provide input on what is being promoted. Just want to remind you about that. So in conclusion, is it time to take more control of our own destiny to define our brand, strategy, and metrics with marketing tourism? I kind of feel like it is. but that's not my decision. That's y'all's decision. Or do we stay the same path? Do we keep just doing what we've been doing? And, you know, budget comes in, this is what we're doing, okay, let's keep moving. How can, and this is really the whole reason, this whole presentation, how can we help? I mean, we need direction, we need guidance. Lots of passion in this volunteer committee, and I hate to waste that upon a limited effort. You know, we need some guidance, and maybe it's time for a longer meeting with you guys or a discussion somehow to help shape this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm asking you guys.
And
the last thing is, Mike, since it's baseball, go to Barrett. You don't know where you're going. You might wind up someplace else.
Well, I would tell you, Mark, that I think there's a lot of good thought in here, and we should get together. I mean, it was a time when we had 90 properties with TDA. We have 2,200 structures in town. 2,200 structures. Just happens we have 2,200 full-time residents, too, but 2,200 structures, approximately 400 to 420 of those structures are rentals. Not motel, mini motels, I call them. So, and we have 1.8 million people going through town to two sets of state properties at the end. So, you have a point. Things are right for the plucking if we want to pluck the right things.
Right.
And those two facilities are being expanded.
They are being, $50 million is being used to expand them.
And so, it's an important thing. It's an important decision.
It is.
We've got to figure this out.
It is.
And I think marketing is, there's a lot of money being thrown at it to fill beds, put heads in beds here. And I know we all want it, but, you know, I heard David say it last, Mr. Hagler say that last time.
You can say David, that's fine.
and I think if we make that decision, that's fine, but I want to make sure that the marketing marries that so that we don't have to.
No, I think your point's great. I mean, I think as the department chair, you're asking for a joint meeting, and I think that's appropriate. So we just need to get it scheduled.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you've got a great ask, and I'm interested for the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I am too.
And I mean,
I am too.
So, do you want a Ferris wheel, or do you want a sign that says "Shh, Curry Beach"?
Can't have a Ferris wheel. There you go.
I think the big thing is let's make decisions that. Mind. Let's see if there's something we can do with it. Let's look at the funding. Let's see if there's something we can do with it. Let's try to make decisions to enhance the community, because enhancing our community and what we do for the visitors, I think, will inherently help the residents if we make decisions along that path.
There's two points. I think the most important point is, what do we want to be regardless of what's going on around us?
Yes.
And if we want to be part of it, what part of it do we want to be? So you have excellent questions. We should spend some time on it.
Well, let's do it.
All right.
That's all I got.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Mark.
See you guys.
So do we want to set a joint meeting or no?
Yeah, I think we ought to do that.
Public meeting?
Well, more than three of us there, it has to be.
It'll have to be a public meeting.
We will wait until after the season's over with.
Oh, well, that's fair.
I mean, I'm asking.
No.
Thoughts?
Why don't we put out some dates to the marketing committee and see if we can all...
Okay, let's do this. John, you're the liaison to the marketing committee. Would you work with them on a variety of dates for us to choose from? And maybe Mandy can help you with our calendar and we can figure something out.
Cool.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Okay. You agree with that, David?
Yes, sir. Totally. Perfect.
Planning and zoning. Any input, Joe? Or is the attorney going to do it?
I got it.
afternoon, everybody. It's not going to be that long.
Okay.
We're working on three major efforts right now. The first one you'll be seeing later in the agenda is the text amendment, which we talked about earlier. Second is permitted uses. We're taking the permitted uses in stages. We've already presented some of those changes to you to see, and we're working on the last group of changes, and that will come as the next batch of text amendments.
Good.
And then after that, we're working on the SIC codes, standard industrial classifications.
Yep.
Gets a little more involved, a lot of definition work back and forth, but that'll be the third stage of our revisions that we're working on.
Okay.
So we're right now.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the feedback. Good work. Shoreline access and beach protection.
No, nothing new to report.
Okay. Stormwater?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. Well, then we will move out of committee business into department head business. Administration? Mandy?
Yeah, I'll take that, Mayor. We're on item 91, right?
Yes.
If you turn to page 176, you'll see the first page of the proposed text amendments to section 10.01 of Article 10 regarding the use of the town email distribution list. If you turn to the second page, you'll see about a third of the way up from the bottom the deletion of the provision that's current, which allows candidates for town council to put statements in, blast them on the email list. Based on previous discussions, this raises issues under the political activity statutes, and it's my understanding that the consensus was reached that the better course is to delete that provision. That's what's in front of you tonight. Mm-hmm. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to entertain them. Otherwise, do you want to entertain a motion to adopt or deny these proposed text amendments?
I mean, I don't have any issues with that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I hate there's a statute the way it is, but I think we always hopefully follow the attorney's advice on good stuff like this. So I make a motion we approve the changes as recommended by council.
I'll second.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you, General.
Okay, Building Inspections Department. Anything to report, John, beyond your documented report?
I have nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Finance Department. Arlen.
Recognition of the finance department for the efforts put in the implementation of our new accounting system and billing system. So this just accomplishes, I guess, what you would ask, I guess, earlier today. And it increases the finance budget for the additional compensation discussed, and it covers the way we're split up. It's 45% of our time goes to the general fund and 55% to the water and sewer fund. So this budget amendment accomplishes that so that those actions can be taken before the end of this fiscal year.
Okay. So thank you. Done as requested. As I recall, it was over 400 hours of overtime.
Right.
Right. So to install the new and incredibly much more efficient financial system for the town workforce as well as for the community in their ability to pay by card, pay electronically, and do a whole pile of other things. So, nice work.
So, I make a motion to approve Budget Amendment 23-05.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Thank you, Earl.
That's my signature copy, I assume, Mandy?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Fire Department.
No update, sir.
Okay, you've had a busy month, though, as your report indicated. Police Department.
No.
Brandon? No? Okay. Public Works Department.
No update, sir.
All right.
Just one add. So, for council, we have an extra trash program that currently is being used by six people to allow you to pay for extra pickups on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday. That program results in extra overtime and inefficiencies in the department. So Jimmy's team looked at that, and we would like to move that from Saturday and Sunday to Friday. I'd like to put that on next week's agenda. That'll give us time to reach out. I mean, on next month's agenda, I'm sorry. That'll let us reach out to the current customers and inform them of the change. We'll move that from Saturday, Sunday to Friday and put incorporated in the normal commercial Friday pickup. Couple of positives of that. One is the trash truck won't be in the neighborhood Saturday or Sunday for these few customers. And two, it allows Jimmy's weekend team to get out of there a bit early. Multiple times they go to these properties and there's no cans out, so it's kind of a wasted day. So.
Okay.
I'm going to put that on next month's agenda, but if you have any questions or need more information, let me know.
No, that's a good add. Thanks. Good idea, Jimmy. Recreation Department.
Nothing additional.
Nothing, Nikki? Okay, thank you. It's a busy time of year. Everybody realizes that, so things are occurring, but it does require a lot of work from the departments and their staff. Okay, old business.
Yeah.
So,
we have one?
Yes. So we have, that's what we added.
Yeah, the classification and compensation study. Everyone saw the presentation from our contractor. Council met with her today. We have worked with the finance officer to incorporate the changes into this year's budget, as well as to make some changes that were recommended by the study in this next pay period to get us caught back up. So we will be adjusting that, and then you'll hear me when we make the motion to approve the formal budget, add this into it. That information will be available on the town website, I assume, Mandy, after this?
Yes.
Yes. So it was a good study. I think it's important to recognize that we are a small employer, and it's important to keep every one of our employees. And there's a bunch of ways you do that. You guys help us by appreciating them as employees when they're out in the world. So please tell your neighbors to treat our employees well, because they do a great service for us. And then our job is to make sure that they are meeting, we're keeping up with the market, and then doing the non-pay issues to support them so that they can grow and enjoy their jobs and their livelihood. So council takes that responsibility very seriously. With the small team that we have, just one person leaves is a big impact. So please make sure that you recognize that. And it's my pleasure and our pleasure, I think, as a council to be able to do these studies and then to make sure we're keeping our employees fairly compensated based on the market information that we get.
So what we will be recommending and talking about when we do the budget is numbers that you saw are minimums. So minimums grew. Not everybody is below minimum. A few folks are below minimum. They will be accessed and dealt with this month, and then we move into what was in the budget in the first place. So a lot of numbers up there doesn't mean a lot of things except for the people are at the minimums. And then, of course, we want to make sure that our people who have been with us and our people who perform well are closer to the midpoints or growing in their categories. So we have the budget prepared, and we will speak with the department heads on individuals and to take them through the numbers from the perspective of what it means from a council perspective and what it means to the citizens of the town to maintain this tremendous workforce that we have. So, moving on to new business. Adoption of full year 23-24 budget ordinance and fee schedule. Finance Officer Arlen.
Since that point in time, there have been some changes that have occurred, I guess, and I just wanted to briefly go through those changes to the proposed budget. So what I did is I listed here the seven funds that comprise our the town budget, what was presented at the May 15th meeting, and then the changes that have occurred since that point in time. So as summarized here, and I'll go into each fund in a little more detail in just a minute, but just in summary, the largest increase is in the general fund, and it's a little over $63,000. Small amounts in the water and sewer fund and stormwater fund, and then a increase in the beach protection fund of $19,250 for a grand total of $84,203 increase, which is really only about 0.7% of the entire budget. So it's kind of a normal occurrence as things we get new and improved information before the final adoption of the budget. So what I thought I'd do is I just quickly go through by fund what those changes were. As mentioned just a little while ago about the classification and compensation study, there are changes that to the budget as a result of that. So the first four items listed there for administration, fire department, lifeguards, and the first streets and sanitation. All of those relate to the impact for the upcoming fiscal year of ensuring that all employees are at least the minimum for the new proposed grade levels. So there was already an increase built into the budget of cost of living of 8.7% and merit of 1.3% for a 10% increase. So this is just the incremental cost of the pay increases that we're going to do before the end of this month, which for the current year is a minimal impact, but a more significant impact, as you see, for the upcoming fiscal year. And that carries forward to also the water and sewer fund and the stormwater fund, which I'll cover in just a minute, but that's the first four items there. The other item under streets and sanitation, recycle service, we were just informed last week that our rate is gonna go up 5.4%. So that's what this is right here, is an increase to our recycle service expense. What I also included in the budget is a corresponding increase in the recycle fee that is charged to residents monthly to match what the recycling company is going to be charging the town. So that's the $11,000 that you see there, and then an increase in recycle fees of $11,000. Any questions on the expense part for the general fund? The other parts of the revenue increases, since a lot of the costs related to the pay study are included within lifeguards because they're shared employees between fire and lifeguards. That funding will come from the TDA as it's a tourism related expense. And then there's an additional small increase to our appropriation of fund balance for the upcoming fiscal year. Any questions on the general fund? Water and sewer fund just has a small increase, again, related to the compensation study that was done, the classification. The one strange part is the fact that in the water and sewer operations department, there's actually, we had a small decrease, and that really is because of some staff changes since the original budget was prepared. And some employees that, newer employees that are on the lower end of the pay scale, so that actually had a negative impact when we made this adjustment. And stormwater operations, same thing, a small impact based on the classification and compensation study on the expenses and that will be paid for by a, not an increase, but just a fine tuning of the expected revenue for our stormwater fees. Any questions on either of those funds? And then finally is the Beach Protection Fund. There was, we allocated an additional $19,250, which would bring the total expenses for that fund to about $40,000. That's for a planned, I guess, a beach management study.
Beach management plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, any questions on that?
Nope.
So the last thing I wanted to show was that was not included in our original fee schedule that was proposed back in May is one, the increase in the recycle fee as discussed just a couple minutes ago. The other is actually a fee that we've had that has remained unchanged since before I got here. So more than 13 years has been the same amount. Jimmy and I had talked about it, and looking at the cost of what it is for a public works employee to come in after hours or on a weekend to turn someone's water on had been cut off for non-payment is significantly more than $25, which is what the fee that we were charging. So after looking at average costs and benefits related to that, I would recommending that we increase that to $100.
So just for interest, how often does that happen?
Not that frequently,
okay.
but we've had an increase in the number of services that were shut off, so it could become more of a factor. Hmm. It's not looked at as a significant source of revenue.
No, I understand. No.
Yeah.
It's just recognizing the cost.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Should I mention pursuant to council's previous instructions, we did go back and revise completely, rewrote the civil citation fees. You'll see that on page 8 and 9 of the fee schedule document that's on your agenda. And they're good to go. In performing that assignment, it was obvious that we're going to have round two, which will consist of looking at some of these specific ones to see if the amount that's listed is correct, but also to go back to a number of other provisions in the code which provide for a civil citation but do not specify the amount which is required in another part of the code. So I'll be bringing part two to you, but what we've got right here is based on the code and is good to go for now.
Okay.
Thank you, Arnold.
Yep.
Thank you.
I mean, getting it correct as to what it costs the citizens when somebody else requires some activity.
Correct.
And they should not be subsidizing that activity. So I understand the point here. And I'm sure they do as well.
Okay. Actually, I have on the changes to the proposed budget since the last meeting. Budget ordinance has been adjusted to reflect all of that, and same with the fee schedule.
All right. So this is it, gentlemen, the acceptance of the budget and everything.
Yep. Make a motion to approve the budget for fiscal year 23-24, including the recommendations of the June 2023 classification and compensation study.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, we have us a budget.
Thank you.
Arlen, And department heads, directors, thank you. It's a solid budget, and it's one we can afford. Okay, now we move into the discussion and action on the proposed text amendments to the following sections of the Curry Beach Code in Chapter 15, which were previously read.
Start legal, read them again.
Yes.
Yes, Mayor, I think you can refer to those just as the title indicates, the syntactical amendments, text amendments to Chapter 15 throughout.
Yes.
I'll let Mr. Barlock comment if he sees fit to do so, but there really isn't much to explain. They're all, we either got rid of obsolete provisions, we cleaned up some of the syntax, we corrected typos. For example, we might have had two parentheses before a parenthetical, so we took one of them out. Mm-hmm. There really is nothing to discuss, and I don't really think you want me to walk through 100 of those type of changes. So if you review them, if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Again, Joe may have some comments. I'm not sure.
Did you want to mention the wind?
Oh, thank you.
Let me get my notes. The document that you're going to act on tonight is something that we discussed previously. And when we discussed it previously, I think it was Councilman Allen?
Yes.
Councilman Allen pointed out that we had not addressed the inconsistency or a syntactical mention to 1536-250. And I simply overlooked that when I produced the document you got tonight. So if you would entertain a motion to, if you entertain a motion to adopt these text amendments, reference the fact that I will follow through on 1536-250.
1536?
250.
250.
Regarding, Joe, I don't have that title in front of me, regarding wind systems.
The old title was wind energy equipment, and we were going to change that to systems. So there would be a
simple change, but.
Okay.
Because we need to add that, so just adopt it with that recommendation needing to be followed through.
Okay. Okay, I'm pretty sure many of you read through the red at least. I didn't see anything shocking, but
no.
So, do we wish to accept the changes with the recommendation that the wind energy equipment 15.36.250 will be revisited by the attorney?
That's correct.
Make a motion we accept as presented. With the exception of 1536-250 wind energy equipment, which will be addressed by the attorney at a later date.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
You also have a proposed consistency statement. I'm not sure what page number that is. Probably 179.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's in here.
If you want to entertain a motion to adopt that, or I can
accepting the changes, yep.
Make a motion to approve the zoning consistency statement as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Councilor.
Okay, Mayor, may I say something?
Moving on to discussion.
Excuse me, Mayor.
I'm sorry.
I'd just like to acknowledge the work the P&Z committee and our attorney did over this. We've gone through it quickly. Many trivial changes, but I'd like to recognize Joe for his work on going through this in quite a bit of detail. Attorney Eldridge for working through all of this, and the committee as a whole for taking on this project. This it's not very glamorous. It's not a lot of fun. But the committee did it, and they continue to do this good work. So I just want to acknowledge the work that they've done.
Thank you for those kind statements. And Councilman Penicali is right. We went through it quickly, but we did not go through it quickly.
Right.
It took maybe 4 months or so. So thank you very much.
we're going to have a really crisp set of ordinances when we're finished. But thank you, Dennis. We should not overlook it. Just because we raced through it here, we know it took a tremendous amount of work.
And the other chapters are to follow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. We're not done having fun yet.
Okay. Next item is discussion of letter of support for resolution R2304 in support of the Wilmington Urban Area MPO's action planning grant application through the Safe Streets and Roads for All programs. And is that you, Alan?
No, I don't know. Mandy,
who's got that one?
There's you.
Me?
Mm-hmm. Mandy does.
He sent it to me. It's from the WMPO from.
Yeah, they sent it in and requested support. So, has everyone had a chance to read the resolution?
I did read the resolution and I understand it. Mm-hmm. The letter of support needs work because it has a yellow section that doesn't say what's supposed to go in there.
Well, that's for council to discuss.
Okay.
And decide what you want to put in there.
So this, as I understand this, Mo referenced this when she was talking about supporting it. What does this or not this does this not do, right? So Mo, you referenced it when you were talking about the Safe Streets and Roads for All programs requirements.
I was actually talking about the Complete Streets program.
Oh, so I thought it was this one. Sorry, I got them confused then. I assume that's what the same was. I mean,
so we're supporting the safety plan they develop. But
yeah.
I don't think we've seen that safety plan.
Mike
Polofsky.
Yes.
He's the executive director of the MPO.
From City of Wilmington. He's asking all city, town, and county managers to take this into consideration to adopt.
Did he have any timing or anything?
By June 30th.
Yeah, so he wants town council to adopt this resolution and send in a letter of support.
Does he have a drop deadline?
You said
June 30th.
Yeah, because that's when a bunch of big infrastructure bills.
Our meeting is June 28th.
Yeah.
I mean, the part in y'all, we could always say something that Crew Beach closely coordinates with the WMPO, such as bicycle pedestrian safety, you know, something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they supported our input at K.
It's just a statement that we support their
action. We can make some.
Yeah. I definitely support the resolution. I just think if we're going to send a letter, we have to fix the yellow part, right?
Well, definitely. Yes. That's why it's up there for discussion.
Right. And I mean, I think we can vote on the resolution and then assign a subset. You're on the MPO for us, right, John?
No, yes. John and the mayor come up with something.
Yeah, so give you guys.
I'll draft some language you put out by email.
Okay, John. That'll work.
Cool, so then I'll make a motion.
We'll run it for consensus by the team.
Okay. Then I'll make a motion. We accept resolution R23-04 in support of the MPO's request for federal funds for Safe Streets and Roads for All programs.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So then you've got that action, John?
Yes.
Thank you. Discussion of the Oceana letter.
I don't know. I've sent this out to everybody so we could have some discussion on this. I did receive a letter from Oceana asking us to continue our support for no more offshore oil leases in the next 5 years. I don't know if anybody else received it. I might have been the only one, but what I can tell, they were looking for elected officials to sign on to this. And, you know, the mayor and I talked about it, and, you know, whatever we do it as a board. So I don't know if we want to respond back to this at our current resolution opposing offshore oil leasing is still intact. I don't think it's appropriate for one of us to sign it. I think it should come from the entire council. Just your thoughts. I thought we would have, you know, just open this for discussion. If we don't make any, into action on it, I'm fine with that too. Because we still, and the first, I went back and read the email again, and it says, "Thank you for your past support."
Well, in this matter.
So
we do have a resolution existing. Right. About,
can you find it? Because the one linked in the email that I got from them is to Naples, Florida. So they say Curie Beach showed strong leadership and passed a resolution in 2016. They have a link, which I went to, and it's from Naples, Florida. So my first question to staff is, did we pass a resolution in 2016 on this issue or not? Because I don't know that. I don't remember it. I'm not saying we didn't. That was a really long time ago.
I mean, I can't
tell you
what date it was, but
in 2016, I don't think is correct. This was, we passed a resolution in support of Bald Head Island's request to not have.
That's when. Passed a resolution in,
yes, I know it was when. Yeah. That's the only thing we talked about.
I have it here.
You have it.
Mm-hmm. And that's oil leasing, not wind.
It was offshore drilling activities.
Because remember, we
had New York. Oh, you got a New York Times story.
So we should take a look at that.
Yeah, just I'm pulling it up now. You can pull, if you search offshore drilling, you can pull it up, Mandy. Or at least I think I do. It looks like it's pulling it up now.
Do you want the resolution on the screen?
Well, I mean, just so council can remember.
Yeah, I have it right here. I'll pull it up.
You
got to
share it?
Thank you. Thank you for pulling it up, by the way. The packets are not as friendly as they used to be, or as they are now. You guys did a better job of fixing them.
Yeah, they were more dated.
Yeah, more painful.
Just kidding.
Nice to hear you.
I can read it.
Okay, I can read it better here.
So this was for testing.
This resolution here is more for seismic testing. And this letter is more for
drilling.
Leasing.
Yeah. So, leasing to drill.
Yeah.
And they're not going to drill without testing.
Without testing, sorry.
Well, no, it does say, go back down, right there. The town feels it would be more economically and ecologically responsible to pursue non-polluting sources of renewable energy than pose. That poses less risk to our coastal environment and environmental health. So it does. Yeah, okay, cool. Okay, now I'm okay. I'm called back up, Alan. So
I mean, do we want to do something with this letter or send something back to them saying that we have a current resolution still in?
Well, their request is that we log on to their. Basically, they have a link, and then you sign as an individual.
And
right?
I don't want to sign as an individual. I don't think it's appropriate that we sign as individuals.
I don't agree with that. I think it's appropriate for any of us to sign as an individual, as a representative. So I think their request is for each of us to consider whether we believe that and then sign as our representative, right?
Is there a way to download the existing 2016 and just send it to them?
I would say we should, if you decide to do that you shouldn't necessarily sign as a commissioner. I don't think once you're elected, you don't surrender your individual rights if you have a particular feeling. But if you want to represent yourself individually and not as a individual identified to represent the people, I say you want to cite it individually, just make sure you do it individually and not use your title.
Yeah, we got one problem. Indicated required questions and ask for your title. There's more after.
In the examples they give, they all have their title.
Well, so, the Thunderbirds out elected officials calling on President Biden to prevent this. Even if you just sign John Ellen and they look up and respond and track that back to an email that they sent me. Oh, yeah, John forgot to put in. He's a Cure Beach commission.
Well, at the end of the document, they've got all kind of blocks that establish the official authority of the
I mean, like I said, I thought it was worth us discussing this in open as a council.
Truthfully, if I was going to write a letter to the president, whatever party, I would tell him that every one of these things has issues and problems, whether it be shale, whether it be oil, whether it be wind in the ocean, whether it be solar energy, the problems they have with wildlife and crisping birds. We should have a national strategy on how we use all of them in a collective way to minimize the impacts. But that's not what they want. They want their thing. So unless you gentlemen have any specific ideas.
Well, I don't plan to sign it individually.
Okay.
And I'm against it anyway. I think we should offshore drill.
You think we should or we shouldn't?
Should.
Yeah, I don't think we should.
I don't think we're ready to shut down oil energy for this country.
Yeah, I understand, right? And that's why I'm thinking this is one of those where they're trying to pull in locally elected officials on a strategic or national level decision that I think the citizens should speak for that for themselves on the issue, right? That's not to say that I haven't decided whether I would sign it or not. I'm not as opposed to being against offshore drilling as you are, John. But I think that for me, as we get letters that are personally directed and asking our position on something, I sometimes take positions, sometimes don't. I'm not going to come to council and clear it. And that's the issue for me, right? Is this, this wasn't to the town council as a whole. This was to me as an individual commissioner. And if I get these, how I act on them, I'm not going to come to council and ask you guys for guidance. Maybe the attorney might have a problem with that, but that's just where I'm at.
My only comment is if you figured out how to sign it on behalf of the board, I'd still recommend against it because it's not our language. It's a letter somebody else wrote.
Right.
It has numerous representations that and findings and conclusions that you have not dabbled in at all.
Right.
If we were going to write our own letter, that's one thing, but signing a letter that somebody else wrote that you're not familiar with and you had no input in doing, I think puts the board in an awkward position.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's
well said, Counselor.
I would also think that if we were going to sign it as the mayor of Curie Beach, we would have a public discussion about it, not just the five of us. I mean, if you're going to sign a resolution
had a huge fight over that.
Yeah, we did that once.
That was Craig's first meeting, I think.
10 years ago. 300 people.
That's right. There are 300 people in the council chambers yelling at the council about that. And
we heard loud and clear how the...
Well, I don't know what we heard loud and clear. I'll tell you what I heard. I was up here on council, and what I took out of it is that the mayor's signature or my signature saying Commissioner Hegler on the bottom of it, I am the commissioner, but that's not the council or the policy of the town.
Okay.
So when Craig signs as the mayor on a, what we just did, right, a resolution, that's from the town because we voted on that, right?
Absolutely.
But if Craig writes a letter and puts Mayor Craig Bozinski, Town of Curie Beach, if there's no resolution and no vote, that's not the position of this council or the town.
Correct.
And so the people that came and yelled that night had a big issue about that because I think the previous mayor did that intentionally. But that whole issue is still the same to me today as it was then. And to be clear, you as an individual commissioner have no authority to sign anything to the town until you get two more votes. But you also, as an individual commissioner, can have your position on anything you want and sign, you're a commissioner of Curie Beach, because those are true statements, right? And they don't conflict. And the attorney, unless he tells me different, that's the way I've operated for the past 12 years for sure. Actually, the 16 years I've been on council. So
it's certainly the way we voted 10 years ago.
That's right, and that's the way the council voted about it, right?
I don't have a spot opinion on that, but I do recommend that we respectfully decline to get involved with this letter.
Yeah. Okay. And that's great advice.
So decline. You guys just understand that I brought this forward because I felt like it was something. Yeah. If we did do it, we need to do it as a unified council.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything wrong.
And I think
honestly,
we can refer them to
it's
our,
a good discussion.
Our previous resolution, which council did vote on. Right. Yeah. And we have not overturned, so that's the position of the town.
Okay.
Cool.
Good.
Interesting one. Thanks for the flashback.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, it's a chance for me to get some vindication from Mo for 10 years ago. She was mad at me.
There you go. Nice.
Really mad at me.
She was the only one.
Yeah.
It's crap.
And 299.
So.
I was there. Yep.
Under mayor items, the only thing that we talked about today that we did respond to it, the post office crosswalk with the sign, we need to get an encroachment because we have the sign, and if we can do something with the encroachment, we can make that curve a little safer, I think. It's a curve, though. You know, you want people looking at the sign and not at the people stepping off the...
It's not a curve. M Avenue is straight away.
We're talking about the post office.
By the post office.
That's what I meant.
That's
the
post office.
Yeah. And that's in the plan for what we've got engineering services out for right now.
Yes, the comment is if we have the signs...
Yeah, we should ask for the encroachment. I don't know how hard that is. I can't imagine.
Jimmy could have that sign up in a day.
We'll talk to Brandon about the encroachment. We'll talk to Brandon about doing encroachment agreements and how long it takes.
Yeah.
That'll be a side conversation.
Well, I mean, since they know there's a project coming there, they know there's a project coming there, so they should not have that big a deal.
No, you just have to, it's just a process.
Yeah, I understand. Right. Fair
enough. It's not a process that you're going to call, pick up,
yeah,
and get
you.
It done.
Fair enough. Okay.
How long did it take you on the speed limit sign, Brandon?
Oh, my God. There you go. Probably 3 months, 4 months.
Oh, government at its finest.
Yeah.
And that's just to get a response.
Yeah.
That's for the two flashing speed limit signs on North End and South End. It took him that long to get the correction agreement.
And you've got to send them in all your plans, documentation.
Jeez. So what if we put, if Public Works puts an orange cone in the middle of that crosswalk? Would you have to remove it? Brandon, would you have to remove it if we put it there?
Is there a painted walkway there?
Yeah, there's already a painted walkway there. That's what I'm asking.
There.
I know. So I'm just inquisitive now. You've piqued my interest. So what if we just put an orange cone with the sign on top of it right now? What would happen? I mean, someone would run over it. Yeah, someone would run over it. So we can't fasten it.
Awaited. If it's a state road, you'd still be encroaching.
Okay.
Yeah, you're still encroaching.
Yeah,
We put orange cones up all the time.
I think maybe you could, I would suggest you bounce this off of Adrian and see what she's got to say.
Yeah. I bounced it off of Adrian.
Different Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian Cox from NCDOT, and then she sent it to Jesse Leonard, NCDOT, and then she's the one that said, I mean, we've already got the crosswalk there. We've already got the plans for the lighted things coming.
Right.
This is just a more immediate thing.
No, I understand. That's why I'm asking.
I got response within the day.
Right.
And so,
if we're putting the lighted crosswalk in there, do we not already have an encroachment?
There's not. We don't have the encroachment agreement yet. Right. Part of the, in the scope of work with systematic. They have, doing the encroachment agreement is part of their process.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
not only that, when the design is complete, it may be slightly different than the way it is now. So, I mean, I can understand that we wait for the design to be complete, but if we can do something now, simple,
Howard sent an email 3 years ago. Yeah.
We've been working, yeah.
We've been working on this, and mm-hmm. it's just, the natives are getting restless.
Well, yeah, okay. But well. We also got free money to do this. So that what comes along with that state funding is slowdown. I'm sorry. If we hadn't been slowed down by the Senate side of it, we would have had it done long before this spring season or summer season started. But that didn't get approved till, you know, and all the other headaches we've had with it, with DOT. So
yeah. Right. Actually, the Senate money didn't even come through, did it?
It did finally.
Did it?
Yeah, finally. Yeah.
I think you all have done what you needed to do, but now we are left with the fact that we've got a state highway. I don't care whether it's temporary or permanent, you're encroaching on it, and you don't have that authority to do it. DOT is very possessive about their encroachment rights. And we've got a consultant or firm that's working on getting that encroachment. Now, whether you want to approach DOT for a temporary simple encroachment agreement that allows the placement of the sign, that's one thing. But okay. We do have some hoops to jump through one way or another.
Are there temporary encroachment agreements?
I've seen like a form DOT encroachment agreement for speed bumps. I'm just assuming that you can pick up the phone and they say, sure.
Somebody charming like like Alan can get anything done. Yeah.
I'm being facetious.
I mean, I don't mean to put a damper on this, but we're this close to getting it paid for through these state funds. It's just not going to happen as fast. Nothing happens fast with transportation projects.
Okay, we can take a look and see if there's something we can do, but based on what Alan said, he's been with this project from the beginning, from the day it was committed in the office in Raleigh with Charlie, and he got us the money. It was the Senate that didn't get us the money, which slowed us down. But okay, we'll see.
We'll look into it.
But so I mean, he's right. We don't want to jeopardize all the things we got on the table with the MPO right now, or the DOT.
DOT.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have any other items. John, you have any?
No, sir.
Alan?
I think we've talked enough tonight.
Dennis?
Done.
David?
Just a reminder, there's the first tropical storm in the Atlantic looking at the Virgin Isles, so please make sure everyone's aware of paying attention to the weather.
Yep.
Oh, I do have one more thing.
Yes.
Since I was giving a kudos today, kudos to David, again, for his hurricane preparedness presentations. I just encourage... Once again, all residents of Kiri Beach, at some point in their residency here, to attend one. they're both informative and humorous, and I think you'll come away with a greater appreciation for what the town does to prepare for a hurricane.
So. And you forgot one verb, I mean one adjective, scary.
Scary, yes.
Only with fact, though. You can look at some of them right up there.
Can't make a motion, we close.
Yes, please.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Look at that. Thank you.